It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, Tennis Bets Live is here on a rain-filled but hopefully fun-inspired Miami Open first weekend. We got a lot to discuss. Second leg of the Sunshine Double. We're on Tennis Bets Live. It's on YouTube. It is on Tennis Bets Twitter. It is on Tennis.com, Facebook, and it is on the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. Got our friends in the show. On to the Miami Open. It's Pamela Maldonado, Kenny Ducey, and Zachary Cohn. And, gang, this is a fun one. We've got one leg of the Sunshine Double down. We're into Miami. We'll see if there's any tennis played today, but we know we have a lot of matches coming this weekend. So I'll greet each of you separately. Pam, welcome again in the bottom right corner of the screen. Hopefully we get some tennis in today, but if not, you know that this second leg of the Sunshine Double is going to be an exciting add-on to what Indian Wells was, which saw the return of some champions at the event.
Yeah, potentially. We were all in agreement with Carlos Alcaraz coming out with a win in Indian Wells. This is basically the exact same tournament. It really is, minus like the desert aspect of it, and now you get a little bit more humidity. So the difference between Miami and Indian Wells is because of the humidity, we wanted to know the physicality of players. Who's going to be able to withstand 2 weeks of tennis? Now, maybe the rain is going to damper that a little bit, but it's going to add on to that humidity for sure. I have a girlfriend who lives in Miami, and she's like, yeah, the weather blows. So I'm using her kind of as my inside information right now to see what's happening.
A nice flex telling everyone you have friends, but the rest of us, maybe we do too. Zico, on that weather regard, I mean, there's rain a ton today. We've heard about all the issues with the court conditions, as Pam eloquently brought up, but also the tennis ball thing. That's also being in the rage, too. The point being that this is a Sunshine Double, but it might not be the same style of play. It might not be the same players that had success last week going into this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's similar in that it's like it's a slow hard court, but I do think that you can kind of get through with more power here. I do think the balls bounce a little bit lower. That's why, you know, you saw Sinner beat Alcaraz after losing to him in Indian Wells last year, and why you saw Medvedev win the tournament, a player that hits flat strokes. Like, I do think that there's a small difference, so I would definitely factor that in a little bit. But yeah, definitely a bit slower for a hard court.
And Kenny Ducey, top right of the screen, we also have the fact that this is played in a football stadium. I know how much you, I wouldn't say despise, it's not Buffalo Bills level, but you don't like the Miami Dolphins, but we have a tennis venue in a non-traditional setting, so that's going to pose some challenges too. But what's your thoughts going into this start of the Miami Open?
Yeah, I love Miami. I'm wearing my Miami Open t-shirt, so obviously I'm the only one worth trusting here because I've covered the event. But no, my thoughts are, I agree with Zico. I mean, that's why we saw Dan Evans return to the winner's circle yesterday. Very nice win for Dan Evans over Lorenzo Sonego, who he had never beaten before, but had come very close. And I was also sad to see, I mean, I think one of the things I was probably going to say if he survived was the Colombian fans and the Argentinian fans as well usually have a very good turnout at this tournament. I remember when I did cover it, one of the loudest crowds was for Daniel Galán. And it's also not uncommon because for some reason, the Colombian fans just show out in droves for every single tournament that their Colombian players play all over the world, all over the United States. But he did have a much better showing against Alexander Shevchenko than most people would have thought, going to a very, very close late third set. Yeah, it's a very fun tournament, and the conditions are definitely a little easier to predict than Indian Wells. Just happy to be done with Indian Wells, frankly, because we had like two straight nights where you couldn't serve. It was way too windy. And then the night before that, they were bookended by two nights where Zverev was talking about how the ball was flying and through the air because it wasn't that humid and it was a little more dry. So I think we're going to hopefully see a little more consistency with the conditions this week.
Yeah, it's always a rowdy crowd, and I'm glad you brought that up. That Shevchenko match where he put on the villain hat at the end was fun. But Miami's a fun event. Remember, you can join the Tennis Bets chat to get in on the fun. I want to go over some futures. Again, no tennis being played right now. We'll see if that changes today. But futures as of this morning, starting with the men's side, Alcaraz in that pole position. Again, no Novak Djokovic, so that's going to skew some things as we might be used to it. But Alcaraz, Sinner, the top two favorites, no surprise there. There's Medvedev in the three spot. And then it tips off with Zverev, Demonar, Fritz, Holger Rude, and Ben Shelton, respectively. Pam, I'll ask you the same question I usually do. What stands out about this, and where's the real value as you look at this board?
What stands out is this is kind of like a dud, I'll say, a dud of a draw. There's not really a lot of like interesting players that can really like pop off and surprise. Like in the first quarter, we have Carlos. He has an interesting draw, but I don't think somebody like a Ben Shelton could get through. Not quite yet, just because of his inconsistency. Hubert Hurkacz, I just haven't seen enough from him this year. He's kind of like in a bit of a down slump. Zverev is interesting to me, but Demonar is also interesting for the second quarter. So like just when it comes to like excitement factor from like the fan perspective, there's not really a lot to get excited about, though I am interested in Medvedev, probably more so than anybody right now, because I've been saying it for like the greater part of the last 6 months to a year. He's trying to be more Carlos-like, Sinner-like. I want to do a drop shot. I'm going to do a lob. I'm going to play at the net. I'm going to do like he does. He thinks he's never done before. He's really trying, and you see the effort. It's just, it's not clicking yet. So I'm interested to see his progressions and how it can translate onto some of the other surfaces throughout the year.
Yeah, Zico, I think we can also wave goodbye to Alcaraz at 4-1 to win a tournament for a long time. But also, I mean, Pam is right in the sense that Medvedev at this price is probably the one you look at for value. You're always trying to find value. And, you know, a guy on hard court with his resume, with his pedigree, it's plus 650 is always worth a taste. You also have to consider, too, I mean, this might be a tournament where, and I know you're big on the win your quarter bets, maybe there's something there. Maybe that's where the value is found on the men's side.
Yeah, Medvedev was actually my pre-tournament pick at plus 600, so this is a better price than you could get it than where I gave it out. But I do think that Medvedev is a better fit for these courts. I think it's really hard for him to beat Carlos at Indian Wells with the, you know, with how high the ball bounces and just with the variety in Carlos's game. I think that he has a much better shot here. I also think that we'll see him dial back up his serve, unless that was injury-related. I thought it was odd that he, you know, just took so much miles per hour off of it against Alcaraz in that final match. But yeah, he also just has a pretty simple draw, and I just don't think that we should be seeing him this far away from Alcaraz and Sinner. This definitely looks more like a board that I'd expect to see moving forward, but I would say Medvedev should be somewhere in the plus 500 range.
So Kenny, looking at that, and also, you know, I know you like a long shot. There might be a name that I don't have on this list that you're feeling, but how are you assessing the future market week one of Miami?
No, I mean, I think in terms of long shots, the only guy I'm really a big fan of is Alex de Minaur here. I mean, we saw him do really, really well on very similar courts in Mexico and the Mexican hard court swing. They're slower, humid hard courts, very, very similar conditions. It is hot. And I do think that this is basically anyone's draw if it's not going to be Yannick Sinner. But I will say Yannick Sinner here, we saw how dominant he was on these courts. He smoked Carlos Alcaraz. He's made a habit of that. I apologize for PJ Clark messaging me so many times about the starting rotation for the Detroit Tigers. I kid you not, that's what we're talking about. But yeah, I mean, that's honestly the path I think that I most like. I think, you know, he's in a good section here with Holger Rune, and then Alexander Zverev, I think, is probably going to go out early. I actually, whether it's Felix Auger-Aliassime, I mean, Dan Evans could beat him, who knows, but Zico and I talked a lot about before the tournament, about how Karen Khachanov is a guy that could come out of that section and maybe even that quarter. So I would be interested to see how that match would look between him and Demon. But I think that's the best value on the board, a guy that's really, really solidified himself over the last month as a top 10 player after breaking through to the top 10 in January. And he's playing some really good tennis. I don't think he's got too many big names in his way. And I think that's ultimately where I would probably go if I was looking for a long shot here. But I do feel as though it does make sense that Yannick Sinner is one of the co-favorites here. I would make him the favorite over over Carlos Alcaraz. I think that's goes without saying with these conditions. So I think he'll probably win this tournament. But looking at some darts, yeah, I think I get behind Demonar.
So we'll see what happens in terms of the quarter bets, and if we actually, you know, when we get tennis, how the market shakes out as upsets happen on the men's side. For the women, we have some future odds. Iga Swiatek, no surprise, the favorite. Rybakina wins a three-setter last night over Clara Tauson, but she's into the next round. Sabalenka golf, and then it dips presumably there with Qinwen Zhang, Pagula, Sakari, Osaka, and Svitolina, who actually are scheduled to face next. So Zico, there's your women's odds. There's the cut at the big four, but we know that there's some surprises that happened. We've seen Sakari again make the final last week. You taking a flyer? Do you think one of the favorites is going to pull through?
You know, I submitted a full write-up to Ed McGrogan with Sabalenka winning the tournament before the, you know, the bad news broke. And I do think that these conditions are perfect for her. I think that, you know, not running into Navarro as the home crowd. We've seen Sabalenka kind of, you know, struggle with those types of atmospheres in the past. That was my pick to win before. I think that there's probably too much up against her right now to win this tournament. So I didn't end up playing anything on the futures market, but Sabalenka would have been my pick, which she was back at like plus 450 or something. Now she's up to plus 750.
Mm-hmm. So Rybakina looked, you know, a little rusty at times, but getting through, I think she's someone that could do well here too. And I know Pam has the quarter bet, so we have Naomi Osaka's potential here. I bring it up because that match against Fidelina is going to be a huge one for her because obviously she can lose. She's a slight underdog in that one, Pam, but she wins that one. She gets momentum, gets down to a showdown with Coco Gauff, who, depending on her service day, that could be a live underdog for sure for Naomi.
And you said it right now. It's all about Osaka is a slight underdog to, yes, but it's about getting reps in. That's what she's missing right now. She has the potential right now. She was one of the best hardcourt players on tour before she left because she had a child. Now that she's back, she has the glimpses of her old self again. She's still that powerful hitter. She's a strong baseliner. These conditions are great for her, and she's not really great on clay tennis. So this is kind of like her last bit. I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, but this is her last chance. This is Osaka's last chance to kind of like find her rhythm again before she goes into the off season by her standards. And she does have a really friendly draw. If she can indeed get past right now, the odds have moved to Svitolina. They're minus 110 both ways. It is a bit of a coin flip. But if she can get through this, that means not only she has the confidence, she's founding her timing and rhythm with her strokes again. And, I mean, it's just the possibility is there. She wouldn't be facing Iga Swiatek until the semifinal. The third tournament favorite was Rybakina, who you just said is looking a little bit rusty. That would be a final. So the odds, which were like 11-1 to win her quarter, talk about long shots. Like, the odds say that it's longer than, in my perspective, what it actually is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, at the top, Kenny, we know Iga deserves to be where she is. And she's won this tournament before. She's won the Sunshine Double before. She knows how to, you know, rise in big events. I understand the market value. And it's also, you know, a plus number by her name in any tournament is, other than grass, maybe, is going to be one you have to take a look at.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's going to run away with this tournament and win it. I would definitely take her. This is really where Iga became Iga in 2022 when I mistakenly said I covered the Miami Open in 2021. It was 2022. She became world number one with the win over Petra Kvitova, and then she ends up beating Jess Pegula in what was actually a very interesting match, and then she just absolutely smoked Naomi Osaka in the final 6-4, 6-love, and that was the last time they played. They've only played twice, so I don't know. I think that Osaka, I've been looking at her as some decent value here in the early tournaments because, you know, it does still feel like while the movement's not there and the defending has not been great, I do feel like the serve has been rather good. But with that said, I mean, I'm really looking at the Iga section of the draw. As I mentioned, Jessica Pegula, this is, I think, in theory, a pretty good situation for her in terms of the court conditions. And she has beaten Iga before. She beat her last year. But again, you look at that Miami final, you look at the WTA finals last year, which was it was a very noteworthy final there, 6-1, 6-love. So I'm just not sure anyone really has what it takes to get by Iga at this tournament. And like I said, good vibes. Vibes, tennis is all vibes, ladies and gentlemen. And I think that's definitely something to take a look at here because that is a situation where this is a tournament. The last time she played in it, she won. She really, that was when she solidified herself as this unbeatable player. And I do feel like this year at 20-2, she's been pretty much unbeatable. She's been really hard to stop. And the Indian Wells sandpaper courts are not really her thing, and she looks pretty comfortable, honestly. So, I mean, I don't see much in her way of winning this tournament, and I do feel like, as you said, still getting her at plus money is still something that's exciting, even if it's not the craziest odds like a Demon or a Ben Shelton.
So to be clear, I just want to go back to like the men's side really quickly. To be clear, I am on Garritos, Kenny is on Sinner, and Zico is on Medvedev.
Yeah.
Who do we pick? One for everyone.
enjoy the ride to the semifinals, hopefully. But
I think Sinner's going to win the tournament, but like at the odds, I felt better about Medvedev.
I think Demonor is my long shot future I'm taking, but my prediction here is Sinner to win the tournament. So I don't necessarily think you're crazy for taking Carlos here, but also I don't think Sinner should be the second favorite. I think he should be the favorite. So in a sense for value, that also is a place where I would definitely take Yannick.
Right.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, gang, we have a lot of picks to do on Tennis Bets. Again, streaming on all your video platforms on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, as well as the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. Doesn't look like their matches are going to be played today, but we have some picks for whenever they do play. We've got some synergy. We've got some disagreements. The best part is everyone sends me the picks and doesn't know who everyone else is on. Zico, let's get the ball rolling with a disagreeable pick. You are, and if I have this right, on Andy Murray -150 versus Echeverry. And Kenny doesn't have a great poker face because we've already spoiled the disagreement. Zico's riding Murray to win after the Berrettini match. Why? Do you like Etch-a-Sketch?
Because Etch-a-Sketch has not played in over a month. And I think that, you know, he's given Murray trouble with his aggressive tennis from the baseline. Like, he's able to hit through him. But I don't know. Like, there's going to be some rust there. He hasn't played a match in a while. I do think that Murray also is serving really well. Like, his first serve percentage has been lights out over the last five or six matches for the most part. So I do think that if he's serving well, he's going to, you know, kind of put his head down holds. And Echeverry is going to have some trouble just dealing with a little bit of rust.
So we have a Ducey money line dime on Echeverry. Noted Echeverry fan Kenny Ducey turns face again in Argentina. You're on Echeverry over Murray. I think I know the logic, and I think I know where you're coming from, but just explain this pick to me.
Yeah, it's death taxes, and Echeverry beats Murray every single time at this point. I mean, you look at the way that he's been able to navigate this head-to-head matchup. I think he's the better player, and I think you look at the last two. I mean, they've all been, the first one was a kind of a nervous affair in Basel, but I think you just see the story here developing that once he was able to sort of break free of the okay, I'm playing Andy Murray mold, I think things became pretty easy for him. He dusted him in Australia. I think those are going to be much more similar conditions to the one time he did lose, which was at Indian Wells last year. But the one thing that I would point out, not just rust with Echeverry, but he did in that match against Nico Jarry, where, by the way, he was playing unbelievable tennis, and then he got a little hurt. I think it was his abdomen. That was now over a month ago. So we think because he was able to play through the injury for the second set before eventually retiring, I would think that it's not a very serious injury. Also, though, like with the abdomen, it wasn't as if he was getting taping or massages. It was more like he might have just been having some gastrointestinal issues. I'm not quite sure what was going on there, but he's had a lot of time off to recover, and I mean, the thing about tennis is we don't know because there's that reporting, like there's that injury reports like there is in the NFL, in the NBA. We're not quite sure how he's feeling, but I would bet that he's feeling a little bit better. And yes, this line would not be what it is if Echeverry didn't have to retire with an injury in Buenos Aires. So I do feel as though he should be the favorite every time at this point in this matchup. He's just the better, stronger player from the back of the court. And I'm willing to take the shot here at what is now, I think, +140 on Echeverry to win, especially with, I mean, not that, you know, a month and change and then one more day makes a big difference, but one more day to kind of prepare for this and get the body right. He's had a lot of practice at this point. He's going to have more practice today. So I would venture to guess that his body's feeling pretty good. And he's going to have a little more familiarity with the courts with an extra day to maybe practice in the rain or practice late today if it stops raining, early tomorrow as well. He got a hit in yesterday, of course. So I think that he's ready for this matchup. And if he is ready, he should be the favorite. So that's why I'm taking him.
All right, we love conflict on this show, which is
he did. He did pull out of the Indian Wells, by the way, which I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that was a hamstring injury, and that allowed Luka Nardi to beat Novak Djokovic.
Yes, wow, there you go. And there's Nico with his inside injury intel always coming through.
Grumpy Cat saying everyone's so serious today, and yet the other someone else in the chat was saying, why do people think about the Detroit Tigers? Well, I'm in an AL only league, so that's the sad part about my
life. I have Parker Meadows in my league.
Well, so for Grumpy Tennis Kent, shout out to him for being active on the chat. He was worried about a potential pick of one of our matches later today, or if we have it, a one-handed backhand showdown between Shapovalov and Tsitsipas. And I've got a surprise for him today. We've got two panel members on the money line. Pam got in early at Shapovalov plus 185. Kenny's going to join as well. So we've got some synergy money line pick. Pam, you're going with the Canadian over Tsitsipas.
I am. This is more of a fade on Tsitsipas because I don't typically like to back Shapovalov. I just don't. He's so erratic. Volatility. I was against him last week in the early rounds and it didn't come to fruition. Hasn't had much success in Miami, though, Tsitsipas. He's 8-5, but those losses have been to players like Kerry Khachanov, Hubert Hurkacz, and even Shapovalov back in 2019. Those are big hitters. Those are power players. Tsitsipas backhand, we talk about it. I feel like it is a weekly chat. Every time we end up on this podcast, we talk about how the vulnerabilities that Tsitsipas' game has, there's not really room left for elevation in it. Shapo's game, it's based on pure attack. He's bold. He's high risk, high reward. The plus three games is more enticing. That's more of the conservative option. But if I'm thinking about the future, what's next? Clay court season. What does Tsitsipas excel on? Clay court season. So that's Tsitsipas's best surface. This is more of I'm grabbing value at plus 185 because one, the number I feel like should definitely be lower. It's a value grab, but also just because I don't like what I'm seeing from Tsitsipas. Yeah. Shapovalov has an opportunity.
Yeah, that last part especially. I think the number is a little off. Kenny, we've been building to this point too as well with Shapovalov. He's been doing marginally better. This would be a bigger result and this would get him further on his path, but you're also on Shapovalov in this one.
Yeah, I mean, the head-to-head here, I think, speaks for itself. It's 3-2 to Shapovalov, but if you look at the hard court matches, he's won all three. Pam astutely pointed out that, yes, he did beat him here in Miami, and also that Tsitsipas has never made it to the quarters in Miami. Now, Shapovalov's, you know, recent form in Miami has not been that good. He did make it pretty deep, I believe, to the semifinals here in his first iteration in 2019. But I think really what we're seeing here is a trend that I think points to Shapovalov playing some better tennis. We did see on the UTS show that there was some talk from Casper Ruud, who I believe a little softly pointed out that they should have a two-year ranking point system and not one, which is crazy to prevent people from using their protected rankings. That is what Shapovalov's doing right now. He's trying to use his protected ranking, get into as many draws as possible, get wins. He's going to have a big result at some point. Now, what I really liked was that match against Dardari, who had only had one main draw hard court win. And I know that, yes, it looks scary that he had to survive a test from Dardari. I do think Dardari is pretty good, especially we've seen a lot of clay court players have success here. We mentioned our boy, the Colombian, Daniel Galan, at the beginning of the show. Cerúndolo obviously made it to a final here, which was insane. And look, that was a good match. And what's positive about that is all the losses for Shapovalov that have piled up here have all been in really heartbreaking fashion. Mentally, he's had a lot of difficulty coming through after establishing himself and then losing himself. That happened against Gael Monfils and then eventually lost in two tiebreaks. The Andy Murray match, he took the first set, lost a heartbreaker in the second set tiebreak, and ended up losing. Musetti as well, he had a break in the third set, couldn't serve out the match, ends up losing 7-5, and then you also can look all the way back to the Bublik match where we all watched and agonized over when he was right there to win the match, and then they went to a marathon tiebreak and he lost. So, like, losing a tiebreak in the second set, coming back into winning the third set, I don't care who the opponent is, that's going to do wonders for your mental game. And when we talk about Shapovalov, that's all we want to talk about is what's upstairs. Yeah. And I do feel like he's been a little more conservative with the ground strokes this year. He really, if you look at it, should have a lot more wins over his last three tournaments than just the two. And I do feel as though this is a matchup here against Tsitsipas, who's really struggled at this event, who struggled in general in 2024, has lost his confidence and has changed his serve. He changed his serve at the beginning of the season and everyone was like, well, it's obviously because of injury, but now it's like, No, he's trying to have two different serves to step up in the platform during his matches. I'm not really quite sure why he did that, because he had one of the best serves on tour last year. So I just think his mind is all over the place right now. And Shapovalov's hungry. And we talked about it on our last show about how Tsitsipas like does not have the, so to speak, will to win right now. Shapovalov has that will to win. He has to win right now because he needs to save his career at this point. It's been 2 years of just kind of, you know, messing around, losing a bunch of matches, still making money off endorsements. This is it. This is his season. If he doesn't break through here, he's going to be like his coach Peter Polansky and just be a challenger player. So I do think he comes out here strong. Whether or not he ends up finishing the job, we haven't been able to see that on a ton of occasions. But I think because of that Dardari match, maybe he's got that a little bit of a mental edge here that now, okay, he can come through a tough match. He can overcome his demons, and I think he can win this for sure.
Desperation's key for this one. I think Shapovalov, again, study the head-to-head. We've seen it already in this Open, too, that head-to-head matters. So moving on to another pick, Zico. This might cause some tension, maybe not. But you're liking Jari +1.5 sets, -128 over Jack Draper. I didn't think there's rumblings that you have a money line sprinkle as well on Jari, but I think I know this was a self-described humidity fade of the British guy.
Yeah. I just don't really trust Draper in hot conditions. Like, we've seen him time and time again fail to finish matches or just, you know, completely drop in level in the second and third set of those matches. At the same time, like, Jari's just a really good server. I know he hasn't played very well this season, but I trust, like, his big power game to just kind of get him close and late in sets. So I just think that at some point, like, I trust him to win one of three. I don't know. I kind of like him to win the match.
Would you say that he hasn't played very well this season?
Jari, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I just wanted to make sure people heard that. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you take Draper?
No. Like you, I was a coward because you said you wouldn't take Luka Van Asche. I did not take Jack Draper here. This is the Luka Van Asche Casper Ruud match for me. Where I'm just, why would I bet it? Why would I? I mean, well, I think Jack Draper's gonna win, but why would I do it?
The difference is Draper's a huge favorite. And
yes,
Luka Van Asche you can sprinkle for like +400.
Well, no, you also love Casper Ruud though, so that's
I do love Casper
you love
Ruud.
Both players.
That's hearsay though.
Andy, I wanted to ask you about one of these picks because I had it on in my preview. It's a close line, and you have Greekspor Mikkelsen. No, I mean it's a fascinating one because I was watching Mikkelsen play his first round match against Klein, and there was some ups and downs, but it does seem like this is a consistency pick because the line isn't that outrageous one way or the other, but Greekspor's just been playing a lot of tennis and been pretty solid versus the young, still rookie.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a conversation about how Mikkelsen just isn't really ready yet to make that first run. I mean, his game's just not consistent, as you mentioned. And Greekspor's the guy who, for the last 3 years, has just done a ton of winning. And even if it didn't come immediately on the main tour, he still won a crap ton on the Challenger Tour. Eventually, the wins last year did come. He won some titles. He won Rotterdam. It was a nice moment. And you look at his season, you look at these losses, he's been in all of these matches that he's ended up losing. The Zverev match was agonizing for those who had Greekspor to win a set or Greekspor to win, like myself. Really should have won that match and just mentally was beaten down. But, you know, this is a situation here with Mikkelsen that, yes, the Klein win was impressive. I actually expected Lucas Klein to come through that match. But you saw what happened in Delray Beach with Tommy Paul. It was a very close three-set match. And you figure, okay, well, wow, he's pretty close to beating a top 10 player or almost a top 10 player in Tommy Paul. Maybe his game is really evolving. And then he comes out next time against Tommy Paul and gets smoked. And it was a conversation about, yeah, maybe Tommy Paul underestimated him a little bit. We talk about hunger and the mental fortitude here. I don't think that this is a situation where Greekspor is going to be underestimating his opponent. But what I do think is, unlike a Zverev, unlike a Bublik, a Sinner, the three guys he's lost to over his last 10 matches, he knows that he is better and more experienced than Alex Mikkelsen. And I do feel like sometimes he's felt like he doesn't really belong because he's not right as experienced. He hasn't won a ton against these top guys. So I just think Mikkelsen's a little too shaky off the ground. He's not been getting what he needs to off the serve. You look at that Indian Wells match, Greekspor was winning a lot of the baseline exchanges. Zverev was erasing a lot of chances and half chances with the serve. Don't think that's going to happen here, especially after the rain. It's going to be a little slower. I like Greekspor, who does like to play in slower hard court conditions and on clay as well. So I think this is bait right here. I think Mickelson -105 is bait. I think you see an American in America and you want to take him, and you don't want to in this case.
This is a legit top 30 player playing against a guy with a lot of potential who is still really raw. So love the logic there. Pam, you have another money line pick. Going with Arnaldi over Bublik. A lot of UTS talk on this show inadvertently. But Arnaldi, why do you like the young Italian here? The young Italian with the flashy game versus an equally flashy player in Bublik.
Because that's kind of it. The Italian is having a lot of success against some of these bigger names because he's a bit of a flashy player. He's not tied to having that baseline style of game. He has the lobs. He has the drop shots. Plus, he is really solid from the baseline. And because of that, who has he had success against? Competitive three-set match against Ben Shelton. He defeated Taylor Fritz in Mexico, pushed Alcaraz to a tiebreak, and won that tiebreak. And then, of course, let's not forget that he defeated Cam Nori at the U.S. Open last year. So the ability for him is there because of his variety, his skill set. Now it matches up, you mentioned, to Bublik, who's also not short of having a net game either. However, if you are facing like an equal style opponent, an equal level opponent, you have to have patience. And I don't really trust Bublik to have that. Bublik is the type of player that he needs pace. He needs the aggression. He needs a faster court, quick points. He falters under some of those longer rallies, which gives me value at +130 for Arnaldi.
Yeah, Bublik's a tough one to figure out, but as astutely pointed out by someone on the chat, and you know, he isn't his best outdoor hard court, not his best game. So like this pick, especially because, you know, Arnaldi can raise his level if it turns into a trick shot match as well. Well, Zico, I want to get some thoughts on some other matches. We still have a few picks to kind of trickle in here, but just going to throw some lines out there, give some thoughts as well. I did mention that women's match that I've got my eye on because I know the lines have changed. This was of this morning, but Svitolina and Osaka. Is this one where you just kind of maybe get in on the live action? Or, I mean, thinking from a strategy, I know this is a tight match, but I feel like this is a match people are going to circle. So if you were going to bet on it, what would your strategy be?
I was looking at Svitolina and didn't end up taking it. I just think that like both of them are so powerful from the baseline, but I trust Svitolina's movement right now a little bit more. I think maybe this is one where you just go with the over and don't worry about who wins, because I do think Osaka at the very least will get, you know, to 7-5 lost sets. Like, I think that you're looking at a pretty high floor in terms of her winning games.
Yeah, she hasn't really gotten dusted in individual sets if you look at the score lines. So she's definitely one that's going to keep it close there. Kenny, I have to throw this one too. Anja Bora is a -275 favorite, stood out to me in any regard. She has a section that, you know, every time her name has been in these big draws, it's been the section we've circled as who could be the sleeper in there. And I don't think there's, you know, a coincidence there.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I actually was just going through some of my trying to make a little bit of a reel for myself, going through the old clips, and I was like, I can't believe we can fade Anj Jabeur at plus money with Maria Sakkari, and that was 3 years ago. And I feel the same exact way here with my girl, Lina Avanesyan. I mean, she's been playing really solid tennis. She beat Maria Sakkari at the Australian Open. You go back to the U.S. Open last year, which was really the first time I got a really good look at her, watching her play Helena Ostapenko, a match where she showed a ton of fight. She's just a hard-nosed baseliner, and she will get a ton of balls back. She has like much better rally tolerance than a lot of people would assume for someone ranked 65 in the world. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned it with Anj Jabeur, 4 losses in her last 5. We have not seen her win since she won in Abu Dhabi against Emma Raducanu, who we all know the story with Emma right now. She's just mm-hmm. struggling, you know, mentally, physically, with the body. I don't know if she should really be a favorite of this magnitude. I just think we're underestimating Avanesyan a little bit here. And while, yes, the record here and the ranking point to the fact that she's not as accomplished or as strong a player as Anj Jabeur, I really like what I see out of her. I think that she's going to be a top 20 player eventually, could even be as soon as this season, because you just can tell that there will be some weeks where she does have good runs at tournaments. Yeah. I don't know about a 1000 level tournament, but certainly I would make her much closer to Jabeur in this match. And I do feel like she could win. So I actually like her a little bit on the money line here. And I know the line has moved towards her as well slightly. So that's where I would go here, or the game spread. But I certainly don't know if Anj Jabeur is going to win this match, at least not comfortably.
Okay. I wanted to take Sloane to win this quarter, by the way. I think that there's a really good chance she comes out of it.
The draw is really well. Taylor, and the draw is just tailor-made for Sloane. She played Kerber he's just owned historically. Her staying next, like, this is her chance.
Yeah, Casatina. What has Casatina done this year? Danielle, yeah. And then Jabeur, who probably loses here. So
if you don't have a big serve, you know, that's where Sloane has historically struggled. And she's kind of avoided the big servers in this draw.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, before we wrap the show up, I did want to throw out another name because I need to get Pam's thoughts on this. And then the rest of the gang as well. But Casper Ruud is someone whose hardcore tennis has been discussed a lot, and he's in a quarter that you think maybe there could be a potential. So any love for Casper Ruud, Pam, in his quarter? Because I saw the number at like plus 700 this morning.
I feel like he's just one of those players. Like, I love Casper. When we saw him, I was under the impression that he was almost like a Sebastian Baez, let's be honest, like a couple years ago, where he was just like nothing but clay, winning a whole bunch of 250s. And then all of a sudden he broke out and he started actually being competitive outside of clay court season. He became really good at hard court and his progression in the game. But I think eventually, what was it, in the second half of 2023, he just like lost himself. He talked about he didn't really have an off season. He lost his form. He lost his confidence. He wore out. Honestly, I think he just like kind of plateaued mentally of burnout. Like, I did too much. And I wanted to back him at Indian Wells. We talked about him last week, potentially finding his form again. And then I see that, but then you end up losing like to Tommy Paul, who, hey, he's pretty good, but Ruud, ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, in a bigger sample size, is the better player. Ruud is just not consistent for me. Can he win this quarter? 100%. It's kind of really it's favorable for him to do such. It's just, am I going to put trust in him to put my hardware money on it? No. I think he has a potential to beat Fokina. That should be something that he gets through. Probably going to go three sets, let's be honest. Taylor Fritz, probably going to go three sets as well. But those are two players that he can be highly competitive against, and in the grand scheme, is the better player. Right. Medvedev would be my worry, and that's who he would face into the quarter. But I think if Casper Ruud can beat Medvedev in this quarter, potentially he is finding his game right when he needs to going into clay.
Also pointing out, just as you brought him up, Kenny actually has Jerry Shang today, as you'll see.
I was going to say, thank you for mentioning the name so we can get that in there, Pam. I appreciate that. But yeah, honorary American Jerry Shang, who had a nice first round showing here, trained in Florida, IMG Academy. This is just as much of a home match for him as the matches in Hong Kong, where he played his unbelievable tennis. And yeah, I mean, Fokina on these courts and on American hard courts in general, like, weirdly dangerous. But yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen a ton of Fokina this year ever since he beat Sabath Vild in what was a match where everyone was like, wow, this is a different Fokina at the start of the season, literally opening night. Where's he been? Mm-hmm. Nowhere. But I would love to offer some thoughts on this quarter briefly.
Oh, and I think this is kind of a good bow on what we're discussing on today's show, is that you look historically, you know, or not historic, recent history of the men's tournament. It's not going to be chalk. Like, that was the big four, big three era, great era, RIP, tears of sadness. But we're in a point now where there is always going to be like one or more surprise semifinalists. So I threw Brood's name out there as maybe a potential one. But if you guys have other Zico, if you have another name that you could think make a deep run, even if it's not, you know, edible, I'm all ears.
No, I mean, I did take Khachanov to win this quarter, but I do think, like, I think Ruud's going to win a Grand Slam at some point. Like, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I was wondering if you guys would take the over or under on a 0.5 line of Grand Slams, but I do think that, you know, he's just such
the last 6 months, every Slam after. Yeah.
I think he'll sneak a Roland Garros in about 5 years.
Yeah. Because he knows exactly what he's not good at, too. Like, you heard him in the UTS thing. He's like, my backhand wasn't good enough to beat Rafa. Like, you see him trying to dial up the aggression on his forehand. Like, I think that that's why his form's kind of slipping right now, because he is missing the court a lot with that shot. Like, I think he's, ripe for an upset this tournament. But I like that he's actually going for it and playing a little bit more aggressive.
I like Taylor Fritz, too. I know Khachanov to win the quarter as well, and people in the chat want us to mention Tommy Paul once again, so I will. I do give him a fair shot against Sinner if he does get through there, because Tiafoe and Martin Dam. I mean, that's a pretty easy draw. And then Sinner, he's beaten him before. It was on grass. But I like Fritz here, honestly. I mean, we haven't really seen him and Rude head-to-head more than in two exhibitions. But this is the section of the draw I'm looking to attack. And like I said, I think there's going to be some weirdness here. Maybe Jerry Shang can come up with an upset over Casper. I think more likely Luca Legend, Luca Van Asche, could certainly push and maybe even beat Casper Ruud whenever they play. But Fritz coming out of that section. And then Medvedev is a player that he actually, again, twice in exhibitions, and then he lost a very tight one the first time they played on tour. He's beaten before, technically. So, he's overdue for a big run at a tournament. Let's just put it like that. I think too many people at this point are way too low on Taylor Fritz. He's been playing pretty good tennis, just running into some good players. Medvedev certainly won, but Ruud and Med back-to-back, I think he could do that. And then who knows what happens here. Maybe Tommy upsets Sinner. Maybe Sinner cramps up and limps off the court and loses. Who knows? But
that's a couple things that I wanted to touch on as well. I'll go ahead and add on to Tommy Paul. Like, he's kind of in the same realm right now as Medvedev, where he was a baseliner. He's starting to evolve his game a little bit more. He is starting to add a lot more variety. The problem with that is that it is so highly inconsistent. And when you don't have that consistency, you become a lot more volatile of a player. Can you romp your opponent in the first set? Great. But then you want to sustain that level for three sets or even in a best of five. It's just not right now honed into where he can capitalize on being a better player. I love that he's adding this variety to his game. Just right now, I don't trust him to win matches against players like a Jannik Sinner, a Carlos Alcaraz, even a Medvedev. So until he really hones that in, the volatility is just always going to be so high. Sinner, I love that Kenny brought it up. This is what the early I want to do a little caveat of. I crushed Indian Wells. I lost the first two bets and because they were in the first round, and then I didn't lose one after. Why? Because how I do these tournaments is observation early. I have question marks on Jannik Sinner. He had some injury concerns against Carlos Alcaraz in the final. I want to see, are they 100% gone? Does he look fine and fresh? People like Tommy Paul, I want to see where his confidence is after losing to Medvedev. People like Alexander Zverev, I want to know where his confidence is after getting stomped on by Alcaraz at Indian Wells. So the early rounds of a tournament, I'm kind of sitting back, observing. We have to give picks for this show, but I'm not necessarily hammering in. I want to learn. And then as the tournament progresses, I have a lot more confidence in where a player's headset is at. The rain delays are going to cause a lot of issues. I want to know how the player rebounds from that. So I just feel more confident going into the fourth round, the quarterfinal, the semifinal. That's where I get my strength in. Okay, I feel really confident right now. Yeah. Early rounds,
Thankfully, rain delay legend Fabio Fognini not in the draw, so we don't have to worry about him coming out after a rain delay and winning like he does every single time.
Yeah, and I think the only thing to put a bow on this is that it is so hard.
Already put a bow. The second bow now.
The very best players in the world are the ones that could go back-to-back tournament deep runs. I mean, it's a lot out of you to go deep into one tournament and then follow it up the very next week. So.
Last player to win the Sunshine was Roger Federer in 2017, and before that, Djokovic. Tell me that Alcaraz, though,
the double sunshine, as he called it.
Yeah, I know. Calling it the double sunshine is hilarious and endearing. Gang, this was fun. And we're going to be back later on twice next week during the Miami Open. Hopefully there's no rain. It's just sunshine and rainbows for everybody to enjoy tennis and have a great time. But gang,
no rain on the shirt.
No rain on the shirt.
Just vibes.
Just vibes. Just vibes only. Zico, always a pleasure. Kenny Ducey, always a pleasure. Pamela Maldonado as well. Follow their social media channels and all the content that they put out. We're back next week twice for two gambling shows. Thanks everybody for listening or watching and joining the chat. This was Tennis Bets Live. We'll be back next week. Enjoy the Miami Open.